This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
This is the same guy who had a player karate kick a catcher and was, oh, I love it. This is the way we want to play the game. Like, yeah. Okay, a little rich from you, old Joe.
And Chris Ello.
But I get my Sonic delivered, boy, I just go all, keep all your arms and legs away from my mouth when Sonic arrives.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
That was a good time to run that little Sonic promo because Gwynn and Chris is brought to you by our friends at Sonic. Drive-ins here in San Diego, great burgers, hot dogs, chili dogs, tater tots, slushies, get the vanilla peach. It's not on the menu. You'll be happy you got it. 8 locations around town. Google Sonic San Diego. Find the location nearest you. Thanks, Sonic, and thanks also to the great folks here at Rovino, the foodery. On the corner of 9th and Market, I'm Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. has just headed off to Petco Park. He's going to be broadcasting the ball game tonight on radio with Jesse Agler. But Matt Scraby is alongside for the final hour of the program. And we are broadcasting live here where they make fresh, daily, homemade pastas, oven-baked pizzas from scratch, generational Italian cooking, and it is a beautiful setting. Just like you'd find in Italy. And I can confirm that, Scraby, because I have been to Italy. And this is about what it feels like.
As have I. I went to Rome. I went to Florence. I went to Pisa.
But you did not go at the same time I did.
No.
Because I would not. Italy is not big enough for the both of us
just
at the same time.
Just about to say.
Did you almost fall off the Leaning Tower?
No, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's really weird because the town is really... Did you see it when you were there?
I was on it, yeah.
Town is really dirty.
Well, it's just a little town, and then they got this building that leans over, and that's what they're famous
everybody's
for.
Everybody's kind of like over it.
Eventually, one day, I think it's supposed to fall.
Yeah, I did hear that too.
Yeah.
But I did the picture, though, where you go stand and you like put your arm up. You have to.
If you're
going to go all the way there.
Right. Everybody puts the picture up like they're holding the building up. That is a That is a must when you go to Pisa. Correct.
Yes.
All right. Padres and Dodgers tonight, game two of the series. Game one last night, I thought, look, Eric Lauer, he's the Dodger killer. I mean, come on. He's 5-0 against the Dodgers now in his career. He's the only pitcher who's pitched 6 or more games against the Dodgers, active pitcher, and never lost to them.
That's pretty impressive.
The only guy. I mean, there's 65 guys that have pitched 6 or more games against the Dodgers. 65, and there's one guy that's never lost to the Dodgers, and that's Eric Lauer.
Considering what kind of lineups they put out there in the last couple years.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like he's pitching against a weak team. I mean, he's pitching against a World Series team last year, a team that probably be in a World Series again this year. And I thought, you know, Eric Lauer, people say, well, he gave up a couple of runs. He gave up a couple of home runs. He got out of 2 bases loaded jams in that game last night that were crucial early in the ball game, and that kept the Padres in it. Trailing just 1-0. He gives up a couple of base hits in those situations. Then the Dodgers blow the game open early, and the Dodgers probably go on to an easy win. So I really thought Eric Lauer pitched well last night, deserved the victory he got.
Let me ask you a question, because when I see pitchers and how they're, you know, they're getting some guys on base, I always look at the pitch count and see that it's getting up there. But last night, Andy Green let Eric Lauer go 110 pitches, and I thought about you because you're very serious and you want pitchers to be out there. So what did you think when you saw that?
Well, it was crucial, and it's a great sign. And I think that the Padres are finally starting to let these guys loose a little bit. And, you know, I understand what they were doing back in April and May and in June and July. And they were taking care of all these young arms. But eventually, you have to find out how far they can stretch out. You just have to. And the fact that Eric Lauer was allowed to finish that sixth inning last night, even though he was up around 100 pitches, not only is that great for Eric Lauer, but it was great for the Padres. And then the fact that the Padres rallied in the bottom of the sixth inning and scored those runs, so Eric Lauer was in position to get the victory.
Yes.
And I think that means so much to me. If I'm the pitcher and I'm the starter and it's my game and I'm going 5 2/3 or 6 2/3 innings, let me get that last out of a close game so that if my team scores some runs, I can get the win. And it's not because I'm not a team guy. It's just because when you pitch well, you want to be rewarded with the win.
Exactly.
Who doesn't? So Eric Lauer pitched well last night, and he said so after the game. When I came out, I was losing 3-1. So I give it to my guys for coming up with that rally, scoring those runs, and getting me the win. But there's been many times this year where Eric Lauer's been taken out before he's had a chance to get the win.
It's true.
And the same is true for Lucchese and the same for Paddock and the rest of these guys. So I'm glad that the Padres are starting to let these guys loose a little bit. And it's paying dividends because they're getting a good return on that. Like, Cal Quantrill's gone over 100 pitches now his last couple of outings, mm-hmm. and he's starting to pitch much better. So
it makes him feel more comfortable because you guys have been saying it all year. You're kind of you're looking over your shoulder whether
exactly.
or not you're going to get taken out of the game, and he wasn't, and he pitched out of things, and it shows him that he can pitch things like that.
Well,
bases
it's
loaded
exactly
jams.
Right. We're not going to know whether you can pitch out of a bases loaded jam if every time the bases are loaded, they take you out of the game.
Exactly.
We're never going to
get
out.
That experience.
Number one, and you just said it exactly right. If you get to the fifth or sixth inning and you start thinking, uh-oh, if I give up a base hit here, they're going to get somebody warming up in a bullpen,
mm-hmm.
then it's difficult to do your job. It's difficult to just concentrate on what you're doing. And it is your job to not be worried about what's going on in the bullpen, what's going on in the dugout, what's going on with the manager. It's your job to focus in on that glove, execute your pitches, and get guys out. But human nature is still human nature. And when you give up a base hit in the sixth inning and you turn around to pick up the rosin bag and you look out in the left field, you know, over the
Someone's
fence
throwing.
There, and there's two guys throwing as fast as they can, you know pretty much that you're not very long for that game. And to me, it's hard to pitch under those circumstances. So I like what the Padres have done with that. And I like the fact that last night it was finally another team, not the Padres, that went 1-for-10 hitting with runners in scoring position and left 9 guys on base and made a throwing error and didn't back up third base properly and didn't swing at a close pitch in the 9th inning on strike 3 with the game on the line.
And then freak out about it.
Because, honestly, the Padres have been that team more times than not this year. But last night it was the Dodgers, and it's so interesting. Baseball so often comes down to which team makes the fewer mistakes
mm-hmm.
as opposed to which team does the most things correct.
Yeah.
And it was that mistake that Dustin May, the young Dodger pitcher, made last night, not backing up third base on that simple throw that came in from the outfield that allowed the ball to roll into the dugout. And that allowed Garcia to come around and score 2 bases, Josh Naylor to go all the way around to third. And then I thought, and I don't know what you Padre fans thought, but I really thought Dave Roberts and the Dodgers were a little arrogant there.
I did
in the
too.
Bottom of the sixth inning. And here's what I mean. It was a 3-3 tie. The Padres had the go-ahead run at third with nobody out. And Dave Roberts played the infield back. He basically was saying to Manny Machado, we'll give you the run.
Exactly.
We'll go ahead and give you the lead. That's arrogance.
That is.
That's arrogance. Telling Manny Machado and the Padres, hey, you hit a ground ball, we'll give you the lead. To me, you've got to play the infield in there and make Manny Machado get a base hit to drive that run in. Don't just give them the lead. But I think the Dodgers are so arrogant sometimes and feel so good about what they can do.
They could be, too. They can be.
You're right. Maybe they have reason to be arrogant. Let's be honest
about
it. Those
things usually work out for them this year.
Right.
And the years past.
But it didn't last night because they only had 3 at-bats left, and Matt Strom and Kirby Yates shut the door, and that turned out to be the winning run. So I love how things turned out last night. Hey, the Aztecs football team opens up its season Saturday against Weber State, And you know that we love to hear from Rocky Long. Well, Rocky Long had his weekly press conference today. You know he had some fun stuff to say. Stick around. We'll find out what it was. And we'll talk about a little Aztec football when we return. Our countdown is still ahead also. We continue broadcasting live from Rovino, the Foodery, corner of 9th and Market, East Village, right close to Petco Park. Gwen and Chris, Scraby, and traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
One hop. Here's the throw to the plate. He is out by 10 feet.
Tonight, pregame 6:10. First pitch 7:10. The San Diego Padres play here on 97.3 The Fan.
Kevin, everybody here at Rovino, the Foodery, for taking such great care
Woo-hoo!
Of us.
Yeah!
It's their fault that I'm going to have to work out twice as hard this rest of this week, but it's worth it.
You know, I went and did 45 minutes on the stationary bike this morning instead of just 30.
Good boy, Scraby.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Because I knew I was going to eat a whole nother pizza, and I did.
You did. Well, no, you had a little help.
I did. Tony
Quinn Jr. helped. I think you offered him one piece, and I think he meant the whole side of the plate.
You know what I'm learning about, Tony?
What?
That dude can eat.
He's got a – and this young lady over here with her gelato.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. She just saved me from having to move to Italy. Because my wife wants to live in Italy because of the gelato. Now we don't have to move to Italy because they got the gelato right here at Rovino, the Foodery, 9th and Market. You've got to check out this gelato. It's some of the best I've ever had. Thank you so much. We are having a great time out here, and thanks for coming by. We've seen a lot of fans on their way down to see the Dodgers and the Padres tonight, game two of this three-game series. Pre-game show coming up at 6 o'clock. Saturday, San Diego State taking on Weber State.
What's the Weber State mascot?
Weber State, that's a good one. Ask Damian Lillard. He went there.
He did.
I don't remember what the Weber State let's Wildcats see. Maybe.
That sounds familiar. Let's
I think it's Wildcats.
Let's Google it real quick.
You're gonna Google it?
I'm Googling mascot.
Weber State. What are they?
Waldo the Wildcat.
The Wildcats. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Damian Lillard was there, and I believe he played here in a the NIT one year. The Aztecs hosted Weber State in the NIT in the first round. At Viejas Arena, and I'm almost positive Damian Lillard played in that game for Weber State. So they're coming out here, and obviously they're Division II or 1AA or whatever. You know, I don't know.
I think it's the college. FBS?
FBS, FCS, BS, whatever you want to call it. College football is so crazy.
College football.
Yeah, I can't figure it all out. I know that they're in a, quote, division lower. However, they were like a semifinalist in that division last year.
They're not a pushover.
They're not a pushover, but that still doesn't give the Aztecs any excuses. They got to win this game, and they just got to win a game. I mean, keep in mind, San Diego State football last year beat Boise State at Boise.
Yep.
And at one point, excuse me, the Aztecs were 7-2 last year.
They were
7-2. And they were on the verge of being ranked. They were on the verge of winning another Mountain West championship. They were on the verge of going to a big-time bowl game. And then collapse city. I mean, they fell apart.
Did they end up 7-6?
7-6. They didn't win another game. And that includes really a no-show in their bowl game against the University of Ohio. Now, I don't want to take too much away from the University of Ohio, because there might be some Bobcat fans out there nearby.
Thank you.
But you should not be losing to Ohio. Not Ohio State. I'm talking Ohio.
Yes.
It's kind of like Allen Iverson. I'm not talking about – we're talking about practice. We're talking about Ohio.
And they got crushed.
And, 27 rock.
27 rock.
They didn't get anything. The Aztecs got nada in that game. So it was really a very, very disturbing way to end the season. So it's to me, you just got to get a win and get things going in the right direction, and then coaches are going to be worried about it, because why? You got UCLA in your second game, so what are they going to say about the first game? It's a trap game, can't look ahead to UCLA, etc. So you know, all those things are part of it. But the Aztecs, I don't care what the trap is. I don't care the UCLA. I don't care losing the end of the season. You have no excuses if you lose to Weber State. None. On your home field, that shouldn't even remotely be a possibility. And Aztec football has come too far to be in a situation where we should even be worried about this game. I hate to say it.
I agree with you. And last year they struggled with Sacramento State coming out the gate here and at Qualcomm.
And look what it showed.
SDCCU.
And look what it kind of...
It kind of showed that there's some areas that they weren't very good in right. when they were previous years.
Well, look, Juwan Washington got injured last year. They need him to be the main ball carrier. They need Ryan Agnew to step up and give them some semblance of a passing game. They got one of my all-time favorite coaches, Ron Carriger, who used to coach at USD. Now he is the receivers coach with the Aztecs. So I expect Ron will get that receiving core up to snuff a little bit because they haven't really had a big threat at wide receiver in a while. Not even when they were winning big-time games with Pumphrey and Rashad Penny. They still didn't have any wide receivers. But it's about time the Aztecs show up with some wide outs and get that passing game going. So we'll see what they come up with on Saturday night. Sky Show. Rocky Long had his first press conference of the year today. And, well, his first press conference today out at San Diego State. Here's what Rocky Long had to say about whether or not his team is focused and ready to go.
I don't know if they're focused or not. They look focused in meetings and they look focused at practice. I don't know how much you're around this age group, but around us they looked really focused. But that doesn't mean when they're not around us they are. I mean, we have guys that don't talk with coaches around, and then if you ever catch them when they don't think a coach is around, they're the funniest guys on the team. To be honest, I don't know. Ever going into a game, I don't know how they're going to act. Now, halfway through the season, I got a lot better idea on how they're going to act than I do at the beginning.
I adore him.
Me too.
You got to adore Rocky Long. I mean, every coach in America would answer that question and say the following. Yes, we're focused, but I'm a little bit concerned that we might be looking ahead, and I'm worried about the UCLA game the following week, and I want my guys to be playing them. Rocky Long isn't like that. He tells you what's actually the truth, and that is that these are a bunch of 18- and 19-year-old kids, and he doesn't know if they're focused or not, and that's a fair answer.
Yeah.
He's not going to know until they kick the ball off on Saturday night. I guarantee you, I've been standing right next to him on the sidelines before during games. And certainly he's so busy coaching, we're not having a conversation, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you can tell that Rocky Long is like, what in the world are we doing tonight? Yeah.
You know,
where did this team come from? Or on some other games, you know, he knows they're locked in. But you don't know a lot of times until you kick it off, especially in a college football season opener.
Yeah, and one of the things that I like about Rocky's style is that he'll tell the team all week leading up to the game. He'll say, if you do this, we're going to lose. If you do this, we're going to lose. Just wait till it happens. And then they lose, and he goes, well, I told them all week, if you do that, you're going to lose. And he's just very honest with the team. He doesn't let the team have anything. He gives them praise when he needs to, and he shuts him down when he needs to, but I just love his style.
And I think his players love it too. I really do, and that's why they play so well for him. All right, so that's a little piece of Rocky Long. We'll hear some more from Rocky Long on the other side of this break. Also on the other side, we have our countdown, and since we're at Ravino the Foodery, thought we would go with our five favorite Italian foods.
Yes.
I don't know that I can limit it down to five because in my view right now,
your periphery,
I can see more than five things that would be on my favorites list. So that's coming up. Countdown, some more from Rocky Long, getting set for Aztecs, Weber State, and the rest of this thing until 6 o'clock. Padres baseball takes over at that time. It's Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. .534 the time. Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. What are you taking a picture of there, Scraby? Is that a selfie of you with an empty pie plate?
Yes. If you would like to see Matt Scraby on Instagram.
What is the point?
Well, I put up a picture earlier and I said, should I practice self-control and not eat the pizza?
Aha. And now you're going to show everybody that you didn't practice self-control at all.
I ate the pizza.
Yeah, but you had a lot of, like I said, Tony's slice was like most of the pizza.
It was most of the pizza.
If anybody ever, just a little clue for everybody, a little hint. If you're around Tony Gwynn Jr. and you offer him a slice of pizza,
don't eat. Don't, just don't.
Just expect that they're not going to have a lot of pizza left when he's done. We got another half an hour to go here. Rocky Long meeting with the media today for the first time on game week. Talked about whether or not his team was focused. Wanted to hear a little bit more from the Aztec head coach, and then we'll get into our countdown. Of course, the running back situation, that's a huge deal, obviously, with San Diego State. How's Rashad Penny doing, by the way? Have you heard anything
in Seattle? I haven't heard much
of anything.
Actually, you know what?
I saw him score a touchdown the other night in the preseason game against the Chargers, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, you know, whether or not he's getting playing time, whether or not he's going to really be bigger part of the offense this year with Chris Carlson.
Carson,
I think he's going to be.
Well, they let the other running back go. I can't remember his name right now. Maybe Thomas can jump in with his name. But they let him go. And so I was reading over the weekend doing research for fantasy football is that he's expected to get a lot of carries this year. He's expected to get a lot more than he did last year.
Yeah. Well, look, Rashad Penny was fantastic at San Diego State. I'd love to see him get the opportunity in the NFL, just like I'd love to see Donnell Pumphrey get the opportunity in the NFL. But Donnell right now is buried in Philadelphia. I mean, there's like five or six guys ahead of him.
Sproles too there.
Yeah, they brought Sproles back, so they need either they have to have some injuries, or you know Donnell's got to hook on somewhere else, and you know just get himself an opportunity, because I think if he gets an opportunity, he can definitely run. I mean, there's you know you're not the all-time leader in college football rushing yardage because you can't run.
Exactly. Last year that showed it when they didn't have a run game last year.
They really didn't have it. I mean, Juwan Washington finished with 909. I think it was 999 yards.
It was. And Kirk Kenny, I believe, said he lost some yards. That
he
put
lost
him under 1,000.
Put him under 1,000, and then they didn't give him the ball again. So he didn't quite finish over 1,000. I think Juwan will definitely get 1,000 this year.
Let's hope.
Assuming he will stay healthy. But I think the key is, you know, Ryan Agnew, the quarterback. It's the key to any team. But Rocky Long, nevertheless, today was asked about his running back situation.
Right now, going into it, Juwan Washington's going to start, and all the other ones that are going to get an opportunity to play. And whoever has the hot hand will be the guy that gets the extra reps behind Juwan.
That's it. You know what Rocky Long is like? That's like a Dave Roberts comment.
Yeah.
Remember Dave Roberts? We were talking about this earlier this year, the manager of the Dodgers. Dave Roberts was on with us, and we asked him about how does he fill out his lineup every day, because he's got so many players, so many talented players on a Dodger roster, so many guys who can get the job done. And Dave Roberts had a great answer. His answer was, I don't make the lineup every day. And we're like, what? And he's like, no, the players make the lineup.
Exactly.
And we're like, what are you talking about? He goes, they make the lineup based on their performance.
If they're good, they're in.
If they're good, they're in. If they're not, they're not in. Simple as that. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to with Rocky Long. That's how he plays it. Sure, Juwan Washington is your guy, but if anybody else gets a hot hand, they'll get the ball for the Aztecs. somebody asked Rocky Long today if he wishes he had a preseason game. Of course, like teams like Alabama, they do have a preseason game. They just play some crappy school somewhere and beat them up, and that's their preseason game. The Aztecs are playing a team, Weber State, that was in the FCS semifinals last year. So this is not a gimme. But here's Rocky talking about whether he wished he had one.
Well, I think there's a real advantage if you play somebody else. I don't know if the number of games matter. I mean, I think all we need to do is scrimmage somebody else one time or have a combo practice one time, where you're playing someone that does something you don't expect, or it's guys you don't really know. I don't know what their situation is. You know, they're trying to cut down the roster down. So maybe if they see those guys play more, they make a better choice of who they keep and who they get rid of. We're keeping everybody on our team. All we need to do is have some live action, so I know who the best players are.
Well, he'll find out a lot. this Saturday night, certainly when the Aztecs play Weber State. Rocky was also asked, I can almost hear his answer to this question. How long until your offense is clicking on all cylinders? I can only imagine what he might have said.
I don't have any time frame. I hope it's right from the beginning. We've practiced a lot, if you count spring practice and fall camp. We've been in that offense a long time now. And to be honest with you, I think our quarterbacks are more comfortable in what we're doing now than they were what they were doing in the past. So I think whenever your quarterback's more comfortable, you expect better things on offense.
I am such a Rocky Long fan. He's so funny. I honestly didn't think he would say that. I thought he would say, I don't think our offense will ever be clicking on all cylinders, because he's always thinks they can be a little bit better.
Yeah.
No matter what. But remember, one of the things about this whole Aztec season and this team is that they've changed the offense entirely.
It's now, spread. It's not a spread per se.
Well, it's going to line up as a spread, and then they're going to run a pro style offense
exactly.
out of a spread. But in the the thing is, it's a risky proposition to the extent of the Aztecs. I thought for these last 5 or 6 years where they've been so good, a lot of the reason that they've been so good is that they've been running an offense that no one else does anymore, which
yeah.
is just a straight-ahead power running attack. And I think teams are playing them just didn't know how to deal with it because they've been used to dealing with the spread week in and week out. And the Aztecs would come in and just pound these teams into submission. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Scraby. When I was doing the sideline reporting on the Aztec radio broadcast with Ted and Kirk Morrison, and I'd be down on that sideline, and you can't tell everything, but you could, after a while, you could just start seeing the Aztec offensive linemen physically beating the snot out of these other defensive linemen on some of these other teams, and these other guys didn't want any more of it by the third or fourth quarter. But the Aztecs are not going to be quite as, set up for the power running game, although Rocky Long says he's going to run a lot of power plays just mm-hmm. out of a spread. So it'll be interesting to see how that all works out.
I didn't clip this one, but he said in passing almost that Ryan Agnew feels a lot better out of the shotgun anyway, so that's why he's going to play better, is because he likes being out of the shotgun. He doesn't like being under center.
Well, very few quarterbacks do like being under center. Who's under center? I mean, really, nobody goes
anything.
Nobody ever goes under center anymore, right? So, this is obviously makes sense. All right, last question for Rocky Long that we'll let you in on. He was asked if there was similarity with this Weber State team to the Sacramento State team they played last season to open up.
Well, obviously the coaches have thought about that. I don't think players think about those kind of things. I mean, it's hard to remember being a player, but I think their age group they get over things really quickly. They forget things. All they remember is they won. And that's the most important, is to win. But that's all they remember is winning. And they look forward to playing. They don't see all the pitfalls that coaches see.
So what do you remember?
I think
that it was a very difficult situation.
Oh, he's not done.
We were lucky to win the game.
He's talking about last year.
Is he done? Okay, he's done. That was the
hey,
game.
Don't ever interrupt a Rocky Long quote again.
I would never.
Jeez. Take you anywhere.
That's the game that Christian Chapman got hurt in last year. Is that right? The Sacramento State game? I'm pretty sure it is. And after that, I mean, they didn't have a real quarterback situation. They didn't have a real consistent quarterback play the rest of the year.
No, their quarterback situation was in flux all season long, and I think that contributed to, the way that they finished
inconsistency,
up.
For sure.
It always does. I mean, your quarterback, coaches will say it and put the best spin they can on it. But there have been, you can almost count on one hand, honestly, successful NFL and or college teams that can't figure out who their starting quarterback is.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, look, I'll give you one team, like Alabama a couple years ago, they had Jalen Hurts going and they had Tua.
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I didn't even bother trying. But, yeah, you know who I meant.
I did.
But they had to finally figure out that Tua was the guy. And just put Jalen Hurts on the bench. And then Jalen Hurts got into some games last year because Alabama was winning by such a wide margin. But it was clear that Tagovailoa, who?
Tagovailoa.
Yeah, that guy, that he was the starter. But look at NFL teams that go back and forth on quarterback. It never works. It just never works. You have to have a guy that everybody can rally around. And the Aztecs didn't have that. It wasn't that Rocky Long coached it that way last year. It was that injuries dictated it be that way. And the play of Christian Chapman and Ryan Agnew dictated that, because neither of them really ever got comfortable and got on a, you know, on a good roll for a couple of weeks.
It was unfortunate for Christian Chapman too. It was his senior year. He, you know, it started for three straight years. He's one of, he is the winningest quarterback in San Diego State history. So he didn't get to finish out his career the way he wanted.
No, he didn't.
And people do mention the Aztecs defense, but people kind of look past the fact that they are really good. One of the best defenses in the country, and they have one of the best linebackers in the country in Kaiava Tezino.
Tezino is unbelievable. He's number 44. If you haven't seen him play yet, you're out there Saturday night, and you're going to go see this opening game, and you basically think you're there to see the Sky Show. Well, look, while you're there watching the game, get your binoculars out and focus in on number 44 on defense for San Diego State, because you won't need to know where the football is.
He'll be there.
Just find him. He'll find the football for you.
He had an insane amount of tackles last year.
So good. He really reminds me of Kirk Morrison. That's who he reminds me of when Kirk played for the Aztecs, just never not in on a tackle.
Yeah.
That's the way Tezino is. And Tezino is in on a lot of tackles behind the line of scrimmage as well.
He has good football speed.
He's a good player. He's a good player. I think he's an NFL player. And I don't really know how they grade that stuff. I don't know what his size is. I don't know how far he can jump, or if he can leap, or if he can run the 40 in enough fat. I don't know. I don't know any of those things about Tezino. All I know is if the other guy has the ball, Tezino tackles him. And that's really all that matters as far as I'm concerned. And so I would think, you know, this guy's got a future. We'll see. All right, so fun talking about San Diego State, but we only have about 15 minutes left, Scraby. We have been broadcasting live today from Rovino, the Foodery, corner of 9th and Market in East Village, right by Petco Park. We're having a great time today. Appreciate the people who dropped by to say hello. But it's time now for us to count it down.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
This is gonna be one of the toughest countdowns we've ever had, because I love Italian food. I love being at Rovino, the Foodery, surrounded by Italian food.
There's a lot of Italian food.
And we are tasked today with counting down our top five Italian foods.
Yes.
That means we got to leave
a whole
bunch of them out.
I love that music.
Man, let me get in on this. All right.
Sing when the moon hits your eye.
Yeah, don't sing.
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now.
No, I do. I do.
Yeah, I do too. It's moving.
Yesterday someone asked me, because you said I babble, and they're like, do you really babble? I don't know. I don't know, but I think I'm doing it right now.
Sounded like a babble. All right, top five Italian foods. Scraby, go.
Number five.
Mine's a very American-Italian type list. But
okay.
My number five is a meatball. You have to have a good meatball.
A meatball?
Yes.
Just a regular, everyday, good old Italian meatball.
Put it in front of me and I'll eat it.
I figured that's
with
the way you are
with a little
more
bit,
stuff.
Yeah. With a little bit of sauce on it. I need a little bit of sauce. A
little sauce. I tell you, even a great meatball doesn't even need any sauce.
Oh, you're right.
But meatball would land inches outside my top five.
Inches?
Yes. Number five on my list of all-time favorite Italian foods, rigatoni.
A rigatoni.
Rigatoni is something that my dad used to make me when I was growing up as a kid. And it's a certain type of pasta, and I'm not going to explain the whole thing, but you make it like spaghetti, but it's a different shape, and then you bake it in a pan, and rigatoni phenomenal.
Forget about it.
Anyway, it was just something I grew up on. So rigatoni'd have to be number five for me. And I like it with a bolognese sauce.
Oh, yes.
A bolognese sauce, which is basically, in other words, a whole bunch of meat.
Meat.
Yeah. that's what I like.
Number four.
My number four... Honorable mention for true gelato. I'm moving it out because I can't believe I forgot lasagna.
Lasagna.
I love lasagna. I'm like Garfield.
I was going to just say, are you Garfield?
I am. I love lasagna. It's delicious. My mom made some great lasagna growing up as a kid, and I just love it.
Everybody's mom or grandmother made a great lasagna, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Somewhere down the road. But I put rigatoni in instead of lasagna.
That's fair. It's fair. So at least one of us covered it.
They're similar, but rigatoni's I like a little better. All right, number four for me. See, you're going to be a little surprised when I tell you this because you don't think I like pizza. My number four is deep dish pizza. And some Italian people would say that's not really even Italian food.
I was just about to say.
Because real Italian pizza is just a thin slice.
Yes.
So I'm cheating a little bit here.
It's fine.
But I just go crazy for a deep dish pizza.
It's like
I don't know
soup,
if you've ever
though.
Had one like it.
I have. I've been to Chicago. I've been to all those places. What's the one place?
Gino's East?
Yes, Gino's East. My parents are from Chicago, so I've definitely had deep dish pizza.
All right. Well, deep dish pizza is phenomenal. It's my number four.
Number three.
My number three is baked ziti. I love baked ziti.
You sound a little bit arrogant with that one.
Baked ziti.
Yeah.
I love baked ziti. It's got a lot of cheese, which is all I need for my Italian meal. It's just a bunch of cheese and some noodles.
What is baked ziti? Just pasta with cheese in it?
It's pretty much lasagna with...
cheese?
Different noodles. It's like... I think it might be rigatoni.
No. Anyway. Rigatoni's rigatoni.
Yeah, anyway, baked ziti is delicious. I love it.
You got it.
With some spicy sausage in it.
All right, that leads me to my number three, just straight up Italian sausage.
Oh, yeah.
Just straight up.
What did you have earlier today here?
I had an Italian sausage sandwich here at Ravino, the eater, the foodery earlier today, and it was some of the best of all time. There's some ziti.
Looks delicious.
It looks like rigatoni, lasagna all rolled into one.
It probably is.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
All right, so
number three for me was Italian sausage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've never seen a sandwich fast enough in my life.
Oh, that was delicious.
Number two, how could I not put spaghetti on the list? I've already put meatballs, but spaghetti. And specifically growing up, I really like spaghetti and butter. I just eat spaghetti and butter.
So how about garlic?
Not as a kid, but, you know, I love spaghetti.
Adam, can you look that up, please, so I know what's in it? Number two for me is just gelato. I'm sorry. I'm not dropping it off my list.
You are not.
Gelato is, like, beyond better than ice cream, and I love ice cream. You know that. But gelato, the Italians have taken it to a whole new level, and Ravino, the foodery, is the place for... For gelato.
Yes,
that's
gelato.
Number two.
While you're looking at the ingredients, let me tell you something about Chris, or anybody who wants to know what it's like to work with Chris. He's going to request something maybe once most times, and I'm going to forget 98% of the time. But not with the gelato.
No.
Chris has reminded me and reminded everyone for gelato.
Yes, you were supposed to give me gelato last week, and you didn't.
I failed.
I'm still angry with you a little bit.
What's in the carbonara?
Well, that's my number one. I was just checking it out.
Oh, there you go. Number one. Wait,
what's
you have
your
to check
one?
Out the number one?
Yeah, I don't know what's in it. I just know I love to eat it.
My number one is pizza. I mean, pizza is...
Pizza.
Supreme pizza. I love mushrooms.
Is there any particular pie that you like better than any other? Like,
the Supreme.
Oh, Supreme.
Yeah, like I like the bell peppers. I like the mushrooms. I like the pepperoni, the sausage.
Okay. Everything on it.
Just, yeah.
The kitchen sink, basically.
Yeah, the kitchen sink. But don't give me this barbecue chicken pizza. That's not pizza.
No foo-foo pizza.
No, that's not pizza.
You don't want foo-foo pizza.
No,
you
not
want
foo-foo.
Good
look at
old...
this margarita stuff. Even though people love margarita pizza.
It's all pretty good.
It is pretty
good. It's all pretty good. But I know what you're saying. There's real pizza, and then there's kind of the foo-foo pizza that they've all kind of discovered. You know what, like... you know, pineapples and
the Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's still very good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But pizza is the best. All right, my number one is spaghetti carbonara.
Oh, okay.
That's
all right.
My number one thing. And I had Adam Klug look up carbonara because I wanted to get all the ingredients. But I don't know. Cheese, eggs, it's the mixture of the sauce and carbonara is just bacon. It's just so unbelievably good. There's a bunch of things here that I don't even know what they are that is in it. But I went to, when I went to Italy, I ordered carbonara everywhere I went.
Really?
And just one was better than the next.
Do you remember that sandwich restaurant, Quiznos?
Yeah, I do.
Back in the day, they had a delicious chicken carbonara sandwich.
Did they really?
I wish they
carbonara,
still had it.
Huh?
Yeah, I wish they still had it.
Spaghetti, but I agree with you on the spaghetti thing, too.
Yeah.
Too many people, I think, list their top five Italian foods and forget spaghetti. Like, are you serious?
It's the most common of them all.
Spaghetti's got to be on the list. So mine is spaghetti carbonara. I combined the two of them.
Yes, we did.
Okay. My wife texted in.
The countdown is now closed.
Hold on. We have a pizza. We have a pizza argument here.
Oh, we do?
What's your argument for our pizza?
East Coast.
There's the East Coast pizza.
Oh, East Coast.
That's
New
true.
York style pizza?
Yes.
Pepe's in New Haven, Connecticut.
Wow. Okay. We can't give Pepe's too much of a pug.
Yeah, we're here at Rovino.
We're in an Italian place right here, so we got to stick up for Rovino. Are you kidding me? But East Coast pizza, something in the water, as they say, right?
It's the dough.
Yeah. It's the dough. It's how they make the dough in the East Coast.
Okay.
East Coast pizza is like to die for there. But Rovino's is like top 10. It's right up there.
That's pretty high. That's pretty high praise.
Thank you.
My wife texted into me that ziti is rigatoni. After we had that old argument about what ziti is, it was rigatoni. So we both like the same thing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you going to eat this cookie in front of you, too?
I can't right in the middle of the show, but I might eventually eat it. It's a long night ahead. Dodgers and Padres are going to be getting going here in about an hour or so. Pre-game show is coming up in about 10 minutes. We are hanging out at a Rovino, the foodery here on the corner of 9th and Market. And been having a great, great day eating just doing nothing, basically, but eating and talking.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my favorite things on the planet to do.
Me too.
Yeah. Who doesn't like those two things, right?
I don't know.
So what else happened? Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about?
I know where you're going.
We have a couple of minutes left here. Evidently, the Miami Dolphins...
I knew this was happening.
...foresee themselves as Super Bowl contenders now.
Yeah.
Because... The Dolphins have jumped into the bidding war for Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes, they have, reportedly.
I cannot tell you how stupid that is.
Why? Why are you so... You told me yesterday or the other day that you were negative about... You weren't negative about the Dolphins.
I'm not. I love the Dolphins.
You just called them stupid.
If they go get Jadeveon Clowney, they're stupid. First of all, Jadeveon Clowney is famous for one thing. And that's a tackle that he made in a bowl game when he was with Michigan about 7 or 8 years ago. And he was the number one pick because of that tackle.
I don't think he was
and
the number one pick because of that tackle.
Oh, I think so.
I don't.
I'm almost sure he was. And I don't think he's really done anything since then. He's been a huge disappointment in the NFL. And the Miami Dolphins would be dumb to trade for him or to pick him up in any way because this is a rebuilding team. They don't need a guy like that. What's he going to – why would they – waste a bunch of their money and young players and draft choices and getting one guy who's not going to come in and make them a contender?
He's 26.
That's not smart.
He has a long way to go in his NFL career.
Yes, but if they get him, they're not going to be able to surround him with anybody. That's the point. The Dolphins are so far away from contention that the only way they can get into contention is by volume, not by quality. They need quantity. And Jadeveon Clowney is, for lack of a better term, quality. They need quantity. And that's what the Dolphins have to do is be patient. They already traded their second-round pick next year to get Josh Rosen. They're going to trade a bunch more picks so they can get Jadeveon Clowney? I mean, how are they going to be rebuilding if they do that?
Well, here's what the Dolphins have in terms of draft picks the next couple years. They have two in the second round, a third, a fourth, a sixth, and a seventh rounder to play with.
Okay. Well, I don't think it would be wise for this Dolphin team at this particular time to go get a guy like that. It sounds good. Sounds good. Jadeveon Clowney goes to the Dolphins. But when it comes to wins and losses at the end of the year, Jadeveon Clowney might make help them win four games instead of three. And that to me is not a wise pickup. Not a wise pickup. Let's pause for just a second for station identification.
What in the world just happened?
I split up the word.
KWFN-FM and KWFN HD1 Radio.com sports station.
This is Johnny Washington for the San Diego Padres.
The Padres play here.
Car rush, deep left field, ball going, ball long gone.
Padres play here on 97.3 The Fan.
Did you see what Keenan Allen did on Twitter today?
I'm glad he did it, not me.
Exactly. That was my first thought. So what he did was...
Because we talked about this yesterday.
We did.
And it was like a trap.
It's a trap.
It was a trap Big Five question by Scrabe yesterday asking us whether we thought a female could ever make it as a kicker in the NFL because, what was it?
Carly Lloyd.
Carly Lloyd made a 55-yard field goal in practice a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So Scrabe trapped us with this question knowing darn well that we wouldn't think that it's going to happen anytime soon. However, by saying that, it makes us sound sexist, but not anywhere near as sexist as Keenan Allen sounds in this tweet.
So Keenan Allen quote tweeted a Sports Illustrated tweet. Their question was, should U.S. Women's National Team star Carly Lloyd pursue an NFL kicking career? And Keenan Allen said, sounds sweet till somebody blocked the kick and all of a sudden she's on defense. Would be like the stampede scene in the Lion King movie. She got a boot, though. So he's giving her credit for how far she could kick, but he's also saying that she would be
a 55-yard field goal is no joke. That's impressive.
Tell me about it. I tried to make a 43-yard field goal after last season.
How'd you do?
I kicked it 38 yards.
I know, and you hurt your kicking muscle.
Wait, Thomas. I did. I hurt my flexor digitorum is what
I liked it better when you told everybody you just hurt your kicking muscle.
I did hurt my kicking muscle. It was very painful for the next 3 days. I know what I know what Andrew Luck goes through.
No, you don't.
I know what he goes
through. Do not put yourself on the same level as a supreme National Football League all-pro athlete.
Did he try kicking a 30 or 43-yard field goal at Cathedral Catholic High School?
For all I know, he probably has, and he probably could do it.
He probably could do it. He's an insanely good athlete.
Yes, he is.
Actually, Carly Lloyd, it's been reported that she has been offered a spot in a preseason game. So
what, this week?
Yeah. So if we could
what?
See that to kick
In the preseason game,
yeah.
But
no, the team is not. No one said what team.
Nobody's
it was.
Confirmed any of this.
But she has said, her agent has said, or people in her camp have said that she's been offered an opportunity to try and kick a field goal during an NFL game.
Okay. I
would love to see it.
This has nothing to do with female or male. This has everything to do with how difficult it is to make a 55-yard field goal with no one on the field, which she did. But making one now in the midst of a game with people running at you and rushing at you is a completely, totally different story.
But she's also a high-level athlete that's played in the World Cup, and she's played a lot of big-time games.
She's never had Ndamukong Suh coming after her. Come on now.
She hasn't, but, I mean, there's a lot of other male kickers that can't do it as good as she could.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure every NFL kicker could stand there and make a 55-yard field goal.
Are you kidding me?
Without question. Are you serious? An NFL kicker standing there in a field by themselves? Every single one of those guys can make a 55-yard field goal almost every single time.
Who was the kicker that the Buccaneers had during their season of Hard Knocks? What was his name? He was Roberto Aguayo.
Okay.
I don't think he could.
Oh, yeah, he could. He just couldn't do it in a game.
That's true. Or practice. I mean...
But that's the point. Practice in a game, you've got people rushing at you. It's a whole different situation.
Practice.
All right. We going to say goodbye? We got to say goodbye. We got the Padre pregame show coming up. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to everybody again from Ravino, the foodery. Make sure you come down here, the corner of 9th and Market. Braden Suprenant is coming up with a Padre pregame show, then Padres Dodgers at 7:10. Thank you, Matt Scraby. Thank you, Thomas Andrews. Thank you, Adam Klug. Thank you, Tony Gwynn Jr. I'm Chris
Jordan
Sello.
Spurgeon.
What'd Jordan do?
He was there. He was helping us all day.
Attaboy, Jordan. Appreciate it, my man. We'll talk to all of you tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.